Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Welcome back, welcome back. We are in the Extra Hour, and we were just talking about Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy that's heading up to New Jersey. Now, what is the meaning of Hurricane Sandy? What does that mean?
Allegedly, this name Sandy means defender of mankind.
Allegedly. Where'd you get this from?
Defender of mankind.
Where'd you
get a little research. Doing a little research.
Where'd you find that at? What's this say? Where's this at?
This is on the internet.
Oh, great. It's a good source. You see that commercial? They had this this lady talking to this guy, and he says, you know, well, you want to go out for me on a date or whatever, go out for dinner. And she goes, no, I found my date on the internet. And this guy walks up that looks like Igor or something from Frankenstein, dragging like, and nowhere near French or something. He says, I'm French or something like that. And she walks right off with him and stuff. I mean, is there a source? I mean, like a...
No. It's just one of these things that they talk about names.
Defender of mankind. That would be interesting because you're looking at Katrina and laughter and thank God. I mean, God's going to definitely defend us. I mean, God's going to stand up for mankind. The question is he defending men from you?
Right.
You know, how will that happen? You know, how will that actually come out? The I have an issue this thing this morning.
You know, the other day we were talking about the United Nations coming to monitor the U.S. elections. And
isn't that crazy? That's just
crazy.
Texas? Very,
but I love the state of Texas. Yeah. According to Fox News.
Unless the ones that are actually monitoring their students with RFDI chips.
Yeah, but
you didn't see that yesterday. Go ahead.
But according to Fox News, Texas says, bring it on. According to the attorney general, says Texas officials this week launched a prickly debate, they say, disputing this. And it says... the Attorney General Greg Abbott is now threatening to prosecute any observer who breaks state laws by getting too close to any polling state. So he's kind of put them on notice, and they wrote a letter. Says he went on to reprimand representatives.
Say that one more time. This is very good. Say it again.
Says the Attorney General Greg Abbott is now threatening to prosecute any observer who breaks state law by getting too close to any polling site.
He went on to. No, it's his UN. Dudes getting too close to the polls.
Exactly.
They have to observe from out in the shrubbery, like 200 feet away.
It's 100 feet. It's 100 feet. Mm-hmm. And he went on to remind them that
we have our own poll watchers. That's what we do in America. We have the law enforcement. We send people there ourselves. We don't need the United Nations sending somebody to find out if Susie fills in her little Chad right or her little shades
Isn't
in her
crazy?
Right. Well, it's not really crazy in the context of the scheme that's going on.
Well,
I mean, and you know, it's obviously we want to be able as soon as today's program is done, you're going to hear, and maybe beforehand, you know, brace yourself and understanding that this is not a conspiracy. This is God turning over a nation. We're real close to doing it, being turned over. We still have a chance to repent.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. What now?
Well, no, it's basically he sends out a letter to remind them, saying just that. That they're not allowed to enter the polling place, and caution against them to be staying within 100 feet. And if they fail to comply, they will face criminal prosecution for violating state laws.
Well, some of these guys are Islamists, and they're from governments that are based on reports that we read on the Blaze is that they're actually from dictatorships in different. Beginning places of democracy and
that would be
something, right? We have the blind sheik in prison, plus several other blind sheiks that are monitoring our election now in jail in Texas.
Crazy.
It makes you wonder if you know the reports of how the drug lords are being infiltrated by the radical Islam. Hamas, where they're joining with a drug cartel in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, Texas, if you're going to lock out some of these dudes in Texas.
I know it.
You know what I'm saying? They're not far away over there in that area. man, it is. It's just some major things taking place. Well, I know that today, I want to talk in the wisdom moment today. We're going to be talking about a proverb that talks about a lying tongue and flattering mouth. It's amazing when the Word of God talks about lips,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what happens with our lips, you know, what our lips are saying determines how God's going to respond to us. I mean, if you just do a word search on lips in the Bible, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. It's amazing, isn't it?
There's a lot in there.
Of course, he's obviously not talking about the lips. He's talking about what's coming out between the flapping lips, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Today's wisdom moment from Proverbs 26:28. It says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Let me say it again. A lying tongue, this is Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. There's so many lies going on today, we really don't even know the definition of a lie anymore. I mean, it just, there's different versions of it. Most liars don't call what they do a lie, they call what other people do a lie. But lie is defined as this: a false statement made deliberately with a deliberate intent to deceive, with an intentional untruth. For example, a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive or intentional untruth. They're intentionally saying something in a way that, and it's really crazy. We're going to talk about our leaders and what's going on, and it's happening everywhere. Another definition is something intended or serving to convey a false impression.
Mm.
You know, doing things that, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie. And it's, you know, omission or commission. It's real tough to live in the truth when so many people are lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and flattery is defined as excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's own interest, which is, it's a lie as well. And it's like, there's so many lies. And Proverbs 29:5 says, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net at his feet.
Mm.
I could just see, there's like a net just scattered all over America right now. There is just so many lies being told, so much flattery. You have, you know, some leaders saying, including in the church, but we're just talking about political leaders, they tell their constituents, they openly, directly, boldly lie to some, and they lie in a flattering way to others. They say, well, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you something. And they're not going to give it to them, but they're flattering them, making them feel, they're doing that to be able to give them the impression. And the definition, again, of flattery is excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's interests or agenda. And so it's amazing. And it's amazing what's taking place right now. Proverbs 26:24 says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips.
Mm.
And so people can just take what they're saying and they can hide behind their words. He says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. He has a deceitful plan, a deceptive plan that he's doing. Realize that the person or leaders or family member or politicians or church leaders, etc., all that, who lies to you through bold lips and bold lies or flattering lips or flattering lies, has deceit harbored in their heart. They're hating on you.
Mm-hmm.
They're hating on you. There's no love in that.
Mm-mm.
They're not caring about you. United States today, there seems to be some sort of lying spirit that's been poured out over the nation. It's like, no, you can't. You just can't stake your trust in people. You can't put your trust in political leaders. I know John Paul Jackson talks about the very thing he says under the prophetic words that he had given about the storm. He says, you know, honesty and politician, political leader, you won't even be able to go together.
Won't connect, right?
I've never seen so many people, and it's like the only way this could be really happen, because nobody's really that stupid. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's something that's got a hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got a hold of our nation. I think about, you know, when God was ready to deal with a king, a leader that he had put into place and had went awry, and his name was Ahab, and he talks about how he's going to deal with him because he wants to be able to unfold something and deal with the nation and deal with this leader. In 1 Kings, he talks about it. 1 Kings 20:20-23 says, and he says, he's saying, you know, I'm ready to deal with Ahab. I'm ready to bring him into a place where his end will come. And so he begins to call basically a council at his throne and starts asking, what should I do? And there, one's bringing this idea and one's bringing that idea. And in that, somebody finally comes up and says, one of the angels comes up and says, you know, I'll just lie to him. I'll be a lying spirit, and I will lie mm-hmm. through his prophets to him. So when he hears this people, these religious folks around him, they'll tell him something that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They'll lie to him, and then they will cause him to go to this battleground where you're planning on having him removed.
Mm.
And so this is what God says. This is what God says. God says, I like that idea. That's the idea. Well, you go down and do that. Let it be done. And so God sends a lying spirit over Israel so that the religious folk, the prophets, would lie into the ear of the king so he would hear what he used to be able to trust was a good word coming from them. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Ahab's prophets probably weren't that good anyway. And they told him things that, hey, you'll win this battle or whatever. And that was God's plan. That was God's strategy. Mm-hmm. And Ahab went and he died.
Mm.
And understanding that it looks like to me like a lying spirit has been poured out on the land. And look, I mean, we're seeing biblically that God can pour out a lying spirit on the land. It's when God would turn a nation over to itself.
Mm.
And God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And so, you know, he's truth and light, and he's the way. And that if the church is living a lie,
right.
You know, why should we expect the world? God's going to say, fine, you know, I'll just give your leader, I'll just have people speak into his ears, and it'll tell him something that he once could believe that counsel. And so he's going to mm-hmm. take it like it's real, but it's not real. And the nation goes into a place of not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about a lying spirit, even in the church where Paul's talking to Titus about it in Titus 1:10-4. He says, there are many religious people here, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught, and that for the sake of dishonest gain.
Mm.
Each, this is Paul talking, each one of their own prophets have said, Cretans, as he says, even their own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, brutes, and lazy gluttons. And so you think about it, that even Paul was talking about Crete and how it is possible for a lying spirit to be over a land right now. And this is how you really can sense that there's something God's allowing significant, because people are looking people square in the face, looking a nation square in the face, and they're lying to them, lying to us. And then people are not even blinking or responding or confronting, even though they mm-hmm. know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not good, because Satan is, this is what Jesus says, Satan's not only a liar, he's the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
When we're getting turned over to a lying spirit, you know, that we're getting turned over to Satan. We're getting turned over to a time of bad time. It's something to be very, very worried about. I mean, I think about Revelations 21. We talk about the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, but understand that God's perspective about lying, if you haven't yet, go on to VFN TV. You got to go to VFN TV and watch the teaching, Liar, Liar, Your Soul's on Fire.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yeah, because it gives us a perspective, because we got to learn how to just keep our mouth shut, because what happens is Satan will take a hold of somebody and he'll start asking you questions and you'll think you'll need to respond, and you don't have to respond. Mm-hmm. And you'll get some wisdom on how to talk to the people who are held captive by the adversary. And it's very important. But anyway, in verse 21, verse 20, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexual immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolater, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." We have to understand that we're like the Cretans today. People say, you know, I'm committed to you. I'm going to marry you. We're going to stay married. You know, I'm going to, every contract, the marriage contracts, business contracts. I mean, we all make mistakes. Things happen, but understand the ultimate out, we should desire to be truthful. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to resolve any aspect of a nation that's got a lying spirit on it if the church has a lying spirit on it.
That's right.
And understand that whatever gospel that's been preached that says that we can lie our way into heaven, then it's according to the revelation of Jesus that it's not true. Now we can, you know, we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we may slip up and we make a mistake. But if we just give ourselves over to a lie and live a lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what's happening right now. I'm watching. You have liars calling truthful people liars. I mean, they're even saying, liar. It's like, hey, you're the leaders. What are you doing? Yeah, that's what happened when we were 5 years old. You don't do that now. And then you have people saying, you know, with Libya, they're going, hey, they looked one of the military men who lost their lives as a fallen hero in Libya. And they're at the airport hangar burying his son. And our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, looks at his face, the father's face
mm-hmm.
of the son that laid down his life for the ambassador mm-hmm. by choice. And mm-hmm. She said, sorry, you know, she was very compassionate about the loss of a son. But she looks at him and says, and we'll get to the root, basically paraphrasing, of whoever did this video, and we will prosecute them and we will have them arrested. That's what she said to the man. His son just died.
The video.
Yeah, but that was the first. I was right there when she and the President Obama were going to bury his son, along with Stevens. And it's like, is there any? Yeah, I think about, you know, Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright was being interviewed on a news program, and he said that the president was talking. He's talking about he and the president were talking. And all I know is what Reverend Wright said, and I'm not saying he's a good source of what's going on. This is what he said was, he said the president told him, he said, your problem is that you feel like you have to be truthful. And that's what he said. Mm. That was an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News. You can find out with Reverend Wright. And he was talking about that. And it's like, what point did politics become just like all the king's men in the movie in 1949. I mean, obviously it's been around for a while, but it's like, is the liar wrong or the one who's believing the lie because they're going to get something out of it?
Mm.
And so here we are as the church now, despite everybody else, not people that call themselves Christians, but the actual church, you know, whoever's walking with God and made Jesus the Lord of their life, for us, we have to understand that we're not supposed to be part of this world. We're not supposed to walk around like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tells us, you know, I want to say this one more time before we close out this wisdom moment, and this is so important. You know, we got to redefine, what's the definition of a lie? Because people, I mean, I saw two politicians being interviewed on the news, both of them representing their political parties, two opposite mm-hmm. political parties. And he's the one that screamed. Do you remember the guy that was screaming? He was running for Duke.
Dean, Howard Dean.
Howard Dean. And he just says something that the other particular person says, well, that's a lie. And he says, that is so inappropriate. I cannot believe you should never, ever in the political arena ever call anybody a liar. You should say things like misspoke or it's like,
oh,
what happened?
Gosh.
You can't call a liar a liar anymore.
Mm. Wow.
And you cannot call radical Islam anymore. And you cannot call your enemy anymore. And you can't, hello, wake up, church. And it's important. It's not that he's saying, hey, we're going to stand this ground and say we just got to make a point at some point. Okay, from this point on, I'm going to repent and I'm not going to be a part of a lie. You could have been living it. You could have made a decision. You could have said it. You could have told people it. You could have told your boss that or whatever. It's time to start living in the truth. And how can you be a person who delivers the truth of God's word and you're not truthful?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be truthful. And not perfect, things happen, you know, but it's an accident or it's an odd, peculiar anomaly that happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it sticks out because it doesn't happen normally in your life like that.
Right.
But a lie is defined as this. A lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. An intentional untruth. Something intended or serving to convey a false impression. Can anybody say all the political ads almost on the, I think about several of people who are just trying to defend themselves from all these lies being poured out against them.
Mm.
But listen, if we're going to run for office, and I pray that a lot of Christians do run for office and stand up, realize that they're going to lie.
They're lying, yeah.
And with that, we don't need to be believing everything we hear. We don't need to believe everything we hear. We need to be ready to respond and pause and think and verify, you know, like Reagan said, trust but verify. And flattery is defined as excessive or insincere praise that is given to further one's interests. Understand this, that right now there's so many lies and so much flattery, which is a nice lie, being given to America, to political factions, to social groups, to all these different groups are being flattered, and the truth is, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, these are all lies. It's like we're being turned over.
Mm-hmm.
We're being turned over, and so many people are thinking, "Hey, if we just vote for somebody who's a good businessman, or vote for somebody who's keeping things status quo," and they think by choosing some certain candidate that it's going to be resolved. But even in that, if you're saying that you got a whole nother book added to the Bible that you heard got from an angel called Mormon
right.
in upstate New York, even though what you're doing is good, that's based on a lie.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to be able to bet ourselves down, church, with a lesser lie and think we're going to come out with lesser harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand this. Today's proverb, Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin.
I want to talk to you, our VFN radio listener. You've been listening now for a while, and your spirit's been stirred, and you're saying, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. Well, guess what? We have a plan and a way for you. I want you to find out more about getting involved in the end time move of God at vfnu.org. That's Vine Fellowship Network University, where you're just not going to hear about where the church has been, but you're going to hear about where the church is going. Be a part. Don't sit back. Get in the game. vfnu.org.
You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got hockey. Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now, talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes. Go on your Android and type in VFNTV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now. The daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com. John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that that little video clip of that guy running during that slow-mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, ch-ch-ch-ch. And it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I mean, I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
What did you confuse it, Pat?
What movie was that?
It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay,
right.
But what I will tell you about Marathon, okay,
is that
BFN Radio is available on the Marathon weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. We were just talking about the wisdom moment, and about a lying spirit. I mean, you got to check that out in the first part of the Extra Hour.
So good. I mean, this is so good. You got to be able to know to separate between what is the truth and what is a lie these days.
It's hard, isn't it?
All this double talk.
Because you're looking at people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust dad. Mm. And so you're watching their response, and you're watching. Yeah, you know, I wrote our congressman and thought, I said, what are you doing? What's going on? Where are you in this? And everybody's so quiet. You know why? Because they're hoping that everybody, they're just thinking that everything's going to go their way, whatever your political persuasion is. And then all of a sudden, everything's going to be resolved because your man, whoever your man is, and your woman, whoever your woman is, gets in office.
Mm.
But what God is telling us, and you need to listen to, brace yourself, that's not how it's going to go.
That's right.
It's not how it's going to go. And we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly.
And we have to. God calls us out from amongst the world to be separate. He's called us out. He said, without holiness, no man will see God. It's such a dark culture now. And the darkest culture of all is when the lights are real bright. Everything's being taken care of. Everybody's living in their houses, and by then horses, but now cars and jobs. You understand that? And everything's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to have a crust of bread and be at peace with God than have a lot of money and be in a home of strife.
That's right.
And I would like for this not to be true. I mean, I really would. But also, I would like for everybody to know God. And everybody, it's appointed once to die. and then the judgment, that are we willing to live our life for those who are headed to death, that are headed to the slaughter, if you would, of the consequences of living a life against God? Because the thing is, until God called me, I was walking in darkness. I didn't know God. And so you can find out about my testimony on meetmyfather.org, and the few of us that shared our testimonies there. But you cannot know him and then know him, but it takes somebody. Well, with my case, it was I was going down the road at nighttime. I was a deputy sheriff, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, and God just called my name. He just called me.
Did you listen to your radio and everything?
Yeah, I was listening probably to Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing or something like that. And I was the noise disturbance when I showed up in my cruiser. Yeah, I didn't have a big...
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, really?
What I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had to stay awake, you know, coffee and loud music. And and when you read my testimony, you'll probably see why God had to call me all by myself, because it was so crazy. You got to hear my testimony. I have an amazing, I think, testimony that religion is just amazing. And you understand that God's people can be religious.
Yeah.
And God's in love with all mankind, and he loves all of us. But religion is so weird, because, you know, God accepts a person and forgives a person, but sometimes religion has a few issues with it. But yet religion starts thinking, well, I guess then we still need you to do this. And so then they put you over something they wouldn't even, you know, it's like, it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, oh, is this for real? You know, excuse me, this logic is blowing my mind away. And it's just religion.
Yeah.
It's religion, and God loves us all. And so you can be called out of darkness into the light when you make a decision for God. You cry out to God, say, Lord, I need you. And we're talking to you about hope. I mean, maybe God's drawing you to himself. You're looking at all these things that are taking place, and you're wondering why everybody's so silent. You're not alone. We're wondering why the church is silent too.
I want to get you talking about lying previously is the fact, you know, the more lies you tell, the more you become deceived. There's a lot of people deceived thinking that what they're doing is right, and deceived thinking that because they know of God, and they know about God, and they know a lot about religion, that they actually know God. And it's like, the one thing is that you can't be deceived. You got to know him. And you can, and you can have a personal relationship, but that's the worst part of the deception is there's many, many people. The word of God tells us many, many are going to say that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and do miracles and cast out demons? And he's going to say, I never knew you. That's a people that were deceived. They actually thought that they knew him, and the reality was that they didn't. And so the thing is, you know, even Paul says we have to examine ourselves to see if we're still in the faith. You know, so they used to say, you got to do it. A checkup from the neck up. You know, you got to do a checkup in the heart. You got to know if you're still in the faith. And right now, it's just America seems to be such a religious country. Is it God bless America? God bless America.
Well, tell me who says this. Tell me who said this. And I'm going to go to talk about rethinking church. Is tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it.
That was Adolf Hitler.
My goodness.
Wow.
Listen, JJ. Jews and Jesus, the church. Listen up to me. This is Adolf Hitler's quote. Tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. What are you hearing people say? We need to rewrite history. How do you do that? You begin to just start speaking this whole new thing that's not, I mean, listen, liars, they'll lie to you, and you gotta write down the truth sometimes to go back and remember it, because they'll deny it ever existed, and you'll hear them lie about it so much that you'll say, you might not agree, I can't tell you why right now this is not right, but this is not right, because they've told you the lie so long that you're trying to even grasp what really happened in that particular encounter with them or whatever's going on. So I have a habit sometimes just sitting down and say, just taking some notes at that point. If I ever have to talk about that again, I can talk about it in the right context, because sometimes they can lie to us so long that when we start talking to them, it gets twisted, and it's almost like we might be telling them something that's not accurate ourselves, because they messed up our truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're like, they changed the characters, they changed the founding fathers.
Where's the video camera? Where's the video?
Yeah. And so you have to, that's how it works. Which means this, by the way, if you'll wash your mind with the Word of God, if you will hear the Word of God over and over again, and you listen to VFN radio, for example, and watch VFN TV, and you start hearing and believing what God says, you start hearing truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. And so the dangerous thing is not just people lying. The dangerous thing is if you tell it loud and long enough, people believe it. Mm-hmm. And look what happened with, isn't it interesting that it was the Jews that suffered because of the lie with Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, and since Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies, which means it originates from himself,
mm-hmm.
what's happening right now in America? The same liar that was lying through Hitler is lying through all this that's happening in our...
That's right.
And if you missed it, you can go back and hear the first part of this hour about the Word of Wisdom. But sometimes God will put a lying spirit on a nation or on a people because he's turning it over to itself to bring it to its end.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Ahab's rule ended because God put a lying spirit around him. Mm-hmm. Makes you want to get in the truth, don't it?
Sure does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, it takes grace and courage to be truth bearers in this land. It's like, Lord, raise up the truth bearers, those that are willing to stand for the truth and share the truth despite of what it may cost you. And the fact of the matter is that it will cost. We got to get past that, you know, well, I'll tell the truth and I'll stand for something if it doesn't. It's like, give me a break. It's going to cost you. But isn't it worth it?
Yeah. And you know, my personal dilemma, and I'm sure if you're honest, your dilemma is, but I'm a fallen man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have not been perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been lies in my past, in my history, in my truth, my experience. But now I'm living for God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm living for God. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying he's right. And I'm not saying line up with me. I'm saying let's line up with him and allow his grace and his mercy and his empowerment of his spirit for us to walk again in truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth doesn't always feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The truth doesn't always give us comfort. And it definitely doesn't always give us convenience. And that's what we're saying here. And it's difficult, but don't just say, hey, you know, because I made a mistake in my past, because I, you know, that's what the cross is about. That's what grace is about. That's what's so good about the good news of the kingdom, is that we can acknowledge sin, ask God to forgive us of the sin. And he does. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we can say from this point on,
right,
I made a commitment that I was going to live a life by God's grace as a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. And I was going to, what happens is when you start saying I'm going to live a life of truth, what you do say, you're well aware of it because you're thinking it through.
That's right.
You're thinking it through before you say it, because you know that if you say it wrong, you're going to go back and make it right immediately, because you made a commitment before God that you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to save yourself a lot of humility, you just pause and think and just immediately respond. I mean, I've seen, you know, people that have this mindset, which is a good mindset, in the middle of a conversation, they would start talking, and in the middle of the mindset, they would just talk the conversation. They would say, well, no, now that I think about it, it actually was this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they self-correct. They just they weren't going to let it ride at that particular point. And this stuff about misspoke and all this kind of stuff, like, you can't call your enemy, and you can't call a lie a lie. We're in trouble because all that originates from Satan. So that can have to bring destruction there. Well, I want to talk about briefly, as we're coming to the end of the extra hour today, that we always talk about rethinking church, and we're not talking about, we're just talking about just thinking about it, begin to ponder it, you know, read God's word, read about the church, read about how, and the church is the body of Christ. We talked about that this week, that we're not an organization, that we're family, and families have function, and families have structure, but it's family structure. We've talked about so many different things so far, but we're going to kind of continue the conversation. That I want to say this, that God is a God of order, but his name is not Robert.
I like that.
God is a God of order, but his name is not Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm referring to Robert's Rules of Order, which is the corporate laws and concepts of holding meetings, which is, yeah, it's a pretty good idea, but it's not a God idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, order could be anything. Order could be just a relational, okay, it's your time to talk. Okay, we got it. Next person talk, whatever. It's not like any new business, any old business. It's like, yeah.
Is there a second on that?
Yeah, old business is the old covenant. New business is the new covenant. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
God is a God of order, but his name's not Robert.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Robert's Rule of Order. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Robert's Rules of Order. It is a way to have a, it's the world's way that was developed through time and philosophies and concepts to have an organized representative type, representation type meeting with structure to it. I'm not going to get into too many details about it. It's just an idea. And it's relevant. It's what you see when you see a Congress meeting. It's what you see when you see the Rotary Club meeting. Is what mm-hmm. you see when you see Kiwanis meetings. You see, and sad to say, that's what you see when you see the church coming together quite often is Robert's Rules of Order. Now, the thing about using the world's philosophies and concepts in the church, that people really start thinking that God's name is Robert. I mean, they really, they start thinking that Robert's Rules of Order replace the order of God.
Mm.
And what happens is Robert's Rules of Order is a political concept. It's a way that, that everybody can have their say.
Mm-hmm.
And that people who have good ideas and good schemes can introduce them and they can vote on them. And you can, if a majority, you know, says, you know, let's do this thing, you end up doing it. That's not the way God does. God doesn't have a democracy. It's not let's vote on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He already has it written down. He has it written down how it's supposed to be. He says very specifically how marriage is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. He says how family's supposed to be. He says how the church order is supposed to be. You know, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But apostles, prophets, and teachers are what is the leading aspect of the church to be able to lead the church. And it's not Robert. And what happens with Robert's Rules of Order when we ingest those philosophies that Colossians 2:8, and John, if you could read that for us, if John, Colossians 2:8, that it brings in the world's way into the church, and it's a way for people who don't know God to figure out intellectually how they could bring what they believe is right into what God is doing, which is mm-hmm. it brings in politics and witchcraft and manipulation.
Yeah, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. That's Colossians 2:8.
And that's it. I mean, Robert's Rules of Order is a good concept for the world. I mean, mm-hmm. it has some order to a meeting. It's pretty cool. But this God's name's not Robert, and his order is not the Robert's Rules of Order. It's so important, but he is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God of family order. He's a God of, we recognize the gifts that he gives the church so we can relate accordingly to those gifts, because that gifts, those gifts are going to function under the concept of bringing us into a place that can bring about, you know, leadership decisions and directions of where we're going. You know, and rethinking the church, I want you to really think about this, and it could just shock you because, I mean, what would you do if you didn't have this place, this building, which is good. I think buildings are good, you know, especially when it rains. But if you didn't have that, and then what would you do when you come together? Do you have any relationship or not? Because if you don't have any relationship, you need Robert's Rules of Order, because that's when it comes for strangers coming together trying to express themselves. But if you're family, can you imagine sitting around the dinner table and all of a sudden the father says, "Wait, I just want to know, is there any old business before we move on to the spaghetti?" You know what I'm saying? It's relational.
That's right.
But if you don't have relationship, then you revert to philosophies of this world and these concepts. And so what happened is we left relationship. And now we brought in these philosophies and concepts that allow us to function, but we're not functioning as the family that we're called to be.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you pull out Robert's rules of order and just say, okay, God's name's not Robert, he is a God of order, and you realize, would we even stay together? Would there be factions? Would there be divisions? Would there be people, you know, that were used to manipulating the board of directors or all these different things that are going on now? Or they just have to relate to people and spend time with them and have coffee with them and love them and pray for them and know their hearts. And it just, when you pull that out, when you pull that out, it confronts us. It confronts us that we don't know God, possibly, because it's happened. Many people talk about, yeah, I was teaching in Sunday school for 10 years and I got saved. It's like, oh,
happens more often
those,
than...
who are those poor 10 years worth of students you had in your Sunday school
exactly.
class?
Hmm.
And the biggest ones are like, yeah, I was pastoring a church and I found Jesus. Mm. You know, what point did you find him? And, but understanding, this is important, because when you pull out men's forms and formats and ideas and schemes and philosophies, you're left with one thing: God and each other, and hopefully love and relationship.
Mm.
And so where we're going, based on my understanding, could be wrong, don't know. Many people are hearing the same thing I'm hearing, is that your relationships are going to be the most important thing you have.
Hmm.
And if every time we got together, you brought in new business trying to push my hand and convince me to do something that you knew that we didn't want to do in this church, you don't have no relationship with me. You know, you were manipulating me with men's philosophies of Robert's Rules of Order. You should have went and had coffee with me and been honest with me, saying this is what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then wait for an honest opinion. That's relationship. And you need to build that, because we're going to have that. The reason why, you know, people who are divisive can just jump up in a huge crowd and like this church in Texas, and they didn't even know they were there, because they operate in the concept of not having that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in New Orleans when the hurricanes come, they didn't know whether or not that couldn't find anybody, because they didn't know anybody. They were, you know, it's like, we're going to hold a meeting. You know, I just slammed the gavel down. Where's everybody at? And so in rethinking church, we have to understand this. This is so important. And you're going to find out this. He says, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can find out if we love God or not when we pull out these concepts and philosophies and ideas, like Colossians 2:8 says, that's held us captive. We can find out if we know God or not. We can find out if we love God or not, because he says, he didn't say if you don't operate within Robert's Rules of Order, you don't love God. He said, if you don't love your brother, you don't love me, even though you tell people you love me. He says, you're a liar. And we already talked about liars in the first part of this extra hour, talking about the moment of wisdom. Listen, it's pretty cool. Now, you might not be able to have a relationship with 10,000 people like you profess to be, but you'll have a relationship with a few people. Jesus had a relationship with 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked that out, and he said he was faithful with those that were entrusted with him. And he said, go and imitate me. And they did the very same thing, and it just progresses along. You don't need Robert's Rules of Order in your family. That's kind of ridiculous. Any new business? Yes, I would like to have Parmesan cheese on my spaghetti. Let's vote on that. Do you want to have Parmesan cheese? Your father's going to say, just go get the stuff out the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's time for us to have that kind of relationship. And let me tell you something. I'm going to end with this, and we got to go. Is Jesus said this. This is how they'll know if you're the church. This is how they'll know that you're his disciples. If we operate in love, if we love each other, we got to pull all these things out that let us act like we're the church when there ain't no love there. God's name, God is a God of order, but his name's not Robert, and he doesn't use the Robert's Rule of Order. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.